Blog Talk Radio.
From the Boomer and the Babe studio at the Feeding Arizona building in Youngtown, Arizona, it's time for Exploring Faith with John Mayer and Pete Peters. Join them as they explore the role of faith in today's world. How does it play a role in business, politics, lifestyles, families, and individuals? Now here are John Mayer and Pete Peters with today's guest.
And we are here, Boomer the Babe show. Exploring Faith, Pete Peters and John Mayer. This is a show where we do it without having Deborah with us. And John is not only is he the Episcopal priest on Exploring Faith. I guess you could be the guest babe too if you wanted to be.
Yeah, I could, but I don't want to be.
Oh, okay.
But thank you. Thank you. I'm honored.
Very good. Well, as a suspiciously familiar voice, announcer voice says, we're coming to you from the from Youngtown, Arizona, and the Feeding Arizona complex here in Youngtown, which is part and parcel of Valley View Community Food Bank. And going into the holidays now as we are, as hard as it is to believe that they're here already,
right.
We want to remind everybody that Jesse Ramirez, director and founder of the food bank, of Valley View Community Food Bank, can certainly use everybody's help, whether you're a Phoenician or whether you're anywhere in the sound of the voice. If you'd like to Google them, you could Google them. It's Valley View Community Food Bank. Or you could go to their website, which is valleyviewcommunityfoodbank.com. They welcome all donations, be it cash, be it canned goods, or now especially turkeys for his big turkey feast on Thanksgiving Day. Valley View Community Food Bank, where all the food is always free all the time.
And Pete, I just want to throw in, I'm proud to serve as the vice president of the board for Valley View Community Food Bank, and as a volunteer, looking forward to Thanksgiving Day. My wife and I will be here to help with that community dinner. And I agree, 1,000%. Anything you can do to help would be just great. Non-holidays is 400-plus families a
exactly,
day.
Exactly. Jesse does great work.
Absolutely.
Great, great work. And especially appropriate here on this show that I have said many times that Jesse does a loaves and fishes thing because so many times the shelves are darn near bare, and for some strange reason, by some divine intervention, suddenly they're full again. And he is to be commended for his tenacity and for his stick-to-itiveness because a lesser man would have said, to heck with this.
That's right.
Or possibly to hell with this.
Yes.
So there's no doubt about it. Well, we have an interesting guest here today. I want to mention one other thing before we get going, other than the fact that this is the Boomer and the Babe Incorporated that puts this on, and we are a multifaceted multimedia marketing company. We do videos for your websites. We also do e-books and mini-books. We sell promotional products, and, of course, this radio show is all part and parcel of how we help our clients in their marketing efforts, so we're willing to help you and would love to help you if you have some needs. One other announcement I wanted to make, that on December 3rd at Sun City Country Club, there is going to be a mixer event, a golf mix event put on by golfmix.com, and there's a PGA professional by the name of Aaron Overholzer, who is on leave from the tour right now due to injury, but he is going to be conducting a putting contest. It's open to the public. Anybody can come. It's absolutely free. You can also take a look at many of the new products. They're going to have product reps and product trailers there for clubs and balls and whatever else. Maybe even have some testing ability so you can take some swings with a few of the new clubs.
Great.
And find yourself some Christmas presents for loved ones and golf enthusiasts in your life. So,
what time of the day is that?
Starts at noon.
It
goes from noon till about 4 or 5 in the evening. Yeah. And there will be a little 9-hole tournament, $50, and the winner will get to have a round of golf with a PGA professional, Aaron Overholzer. And it normally costs you somewhere around $5,000 to play golf with a PGA Pro, and Aaron will take you out and play golf with you.
Great.
Just for winning the tournament. So all you sandbaggers, that's a place that's a place to be. Well, let's get to the show. Today we have a couple of very, very nice people with us. First of all, the guest that brought us here primarily is Travis Scott Brown. He's born and raised right here in Phoenix, Arizona. He attended Trevor Brown High School, graduated in 91. He's a young guy. After graduating, he joined the military, where he spent 5 years in the Marines. He worked at Costco for 8 years until a tragic accident changed and altered his plans for his life. And to plan is now what God has put before him, as he says. And he is here with his lovely wife, Patsy Brown. And they're going to talk about the ministry that Travis has formed. It's called Run, Trav, Run. I think I got that right. Yeah, called Run, Trav, Run. And he's running. Now, he's going to tell us how he came to be in the condition that he's in. But the man is blind, and yes, it's absolutely amazing. He's an amazing young man. So, well, welcome to the show, Trav and Patsy.
Thank you.
We're glad to have you here. And, John, why don't you start? Well, let me do this. I'm going to do the Deborah Brown thing.
Okay.
No relation.
Yeah.
Deborah Brown would say, I need your two-minute movie, please. What did you do before you became Trav Brown? I'll run, Trav, run, and it says you're in the Marines and so on, but where are you from? I know you're born here, but what did you do before now? And then we're going to ask your lovely wife the same question.
You know, I really didn't do anything of much importance, that's for sure. Basically, you know, I was just a normal, everyday person. You know, I worked. That's my entire day. You know, I used to run a little bit before, but not too much, and now it seems to be an everyday thing, which is great. But you know, I don't live the life that I used to. That's for sure. And it was pretty boring before. Now it's full of life.
Do you have family still here in the Valley? Brothers, sisters?
Yeah, I sure do. I have a sister here. She lives just in El Mirage, and my mom lives in West Phoenix. So
you are one of the few Phoenix natives.
I am.
Although there are more and more of them now than there used to be. My daughter's actually a Phoenix native, and she's 35.
You're actually a West Side native, aren't you?
Yes.
Very few of those.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I just keep going farther west, too.
There you go.
Right.
Patsy, how about yourself? What have you been up to before you became Mrs. Travis Brown?
Well, I was born in Minnesota, but moved here as a young child, and I had worked various jobs, but have been in the Postal Service for 23 years, and that's what I do, work at the post office, delivering the mail. I don't deliver the mail. I'm a clerk inside, but anyways, and going to our church here in Surprise, Arizona, and that's how I met Travis, and from there, we were married recently, we're newlyweds, and he is a runner, and we have a ministry together, Run, Trav, Run.
Well, congratulations to both of you on your marriage. And
thank you.
And good luck in your ministry.
Okay.
I'm going to open up the questioning with the question I said that I was going to ask them.
Go for it, Pete.
And that is, you're not an ordained minister.
No.
But yet you have a ministry.
Right.
Define your ministry, and why do you call it a ministry rather than a movement or something else?
Well, my ministry right now, we're going to, right now we have one goal that we're trying to do. We're trying to raise money for my church. We're trying to help supplement their fundraising process in building a new children's center at Radiant Church. And I don't know, I call it a ministry because I get to basically spread the word of God while I'm running out there on the course. I have a shirt that says, a man with a gun took my sight, but God gave me vision. So everybody that's running behind me gets to see that shirt. So in essence, I'm kind of preaching to them about what God did in my life while I'm running.
So you try to run like heck so more people can see the back of your shirt.
Something like that. I like starting up front, too, so that there's more people coming up.
As they pass you?
Oh.
It's easier them passing me than me trying to pass them. So.
Go ahead, John.
Wow. Well, that's great, Travis. That's you know, it's a wonderful ministry. How would you describe the difference between what you do to represent Christ and some other more typical ways of representing Christ. What's unique about the way you do it?
I think it's just the running concept. You know, right now, I don't really see a lot of people, well, I don't see a lot of things, period, but I don't hear of a lot of people trying to do this kind of ministry while they're running, because usually they're just focused on running. But, you know, as I kind of said before, that there's a lot of mention of running in the Bible.
Yeah.
And I figure that, hey, that's the best place to start. And, you know, I would have rather, he said, you know, in order to bring the Word of God to people, you can sit in front of the TV for 12 hours a day. But you know, hey, running is not an easy thing to do, and it's something you have to keep up on all the time, and it requires great discipline. And, you know, I figure if I'm going to be a great Christian, I need to have discipline, and that's a great place to start.
Absolutely.
We missed one key point here, other than the fact that we said that he's blind.
Mm-hmm.
I would be remiss as any kind of a show host if I didn't ask, how is it you came to be blind? What is it that caused your blindness?
Well, on Valentine's Day of 2009, I was on my way to work at Costco. My shift started at 4 o'clock in the morning, so every Saturday morning I did this for years. Stopped at Circle K, picked up a cup of coffee, and was on my way to work. And just like every other morning, it wasn't any different. In fact, I had my cup of coffee ready to start sipping when I saw cars coming up behind me, and it was just very strange because I could see them weaving in and out of the lanes, and it didn't look right to me. So I put my coffee down, and I just sped up. And my truck was pretty fast, you know, I'd have to say. And so I got it up to 60 miles an hour, trying to get away from them to make sure that, you know, I was out of the equation. But I turned around and looked, and they were right next to my car. And next thing I know, I'm looking straight ahead, and I heard one shot, which there was actually four shots fired at my vehicle. And next thing I know, I couldn't see a thing. And it was just, that's when my life changed forever.
So it was just, did they ever catch these people? Or?
Not that I'm aware of. So, you know, as far as it's still an open case, and, you know, someday.
And you have no reason other than what you've come to take as a reason, because it's part of your ministry, that's caused you to, or I don't know if it's caused you, it's led you to this. But you have no reason or rhyme or reason as to why they would just start shooting at you other than because they were just a couple of loonies.
Well, you know, 3:30 in the morning, I was the only vehicle that I could see on the road. I lived probably a mile and a half from there, and I had another 4 miles to go before I got to work. But I didn't pass any cars on the way from my house to Circle K, and I was probably the only target out there on the road.
And it was suspected that it was a gang initiation that morning.
Wow.
And four bullets were shot at his vehicle, and the bullet that was tragic for him entered the left side of his temple and went straight through his head out the right side of the vehicle.
Wow.
Straight through the head.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was
traumatic. I can see where that would change your life.
Yeah,
the fact is that you're lucky to be alive and so on. I think I got that question answered. So.
Yes, you did. Yeah, that's right, Pete. Thanks.
That was my inquiring mind wanted to know question.
Yeah. Well, Travis, may I just go a little deeper into that and where you've been since then, where you've come to. Not so much in the point of view of ministry or the discipline that you're taking up. How have you dealt with the issue of forgiveness towards those people?
Oh, you know, if you would have asked me this question before the accident, I would have probably, the Marine would have come out of me and I would have said, you know, the first thing I want to do is take revenge.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had slowly been on my walk already, and you know, I believe in the power of prayer, and I had a buddy of mine that I'd known for over 30 years that I grew up with, and he actually prayed while I was unconscious and in the ICU, excuse me, and he prayed that I would forgive the guy that shot me and that I would regain some of my sight because they told him I would be completely blind, and that I would regain my relationship with Christ and keep going forward instead of, curling up in a ball, which everybody would probably just, they would absolutely, they would agree with that because it's tragic. But first thing I did when I woke up in the hospital bed is, I decided that I had to forgive the guy, and it was probably the best thing that I did because it just lifted that weight off my shoulders. You know, I don't have to take revenge in this situation. I can let it be. And, the greatest thing that I can think of that I could do right now is if he's caught, put in jail, that I could visit him in jail and say, you know what, you are forgiven. I forgive you. And I think that possibly I could change his life that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that would be amazing.
Yeah. 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 Patsy, give you an opportunity to draw close to Travis there. it's too bad our viewers can't, or listeners can't see this.
I know.
The newlyweds are cheek to cheek by this microphone.
I'll tell you what.
It's wonderful. Oh, you're going to get
a we're going to.
Oh, my. No, we weren't supposed to be on the air, or anything, right?
Well, you're both very photogenic. I just want to point that out immediately.
Thank you very much.
Well, I have an eye for this sort of thing, so.
Oh, no.
And I'm on his good side.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh. I can see the. This is a very punny group.
Yeah, yes. It is. It is, Pete. Pete, do we need to find an elementary student to get your phone up?
We do. It's a new phone. You continue.
Okay.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah. Well, Patsy, I want to ask you the same question. You're Travis's wife. And how have you dealt with forgiveness towards these people?
Well, I actually didn't know Travis in 2009 right. when this happened, but I believe that God will use anything in our lives to draw us closer to Him. He is the reason we were created, and He is the person that, He's the only person that can fill any void in your life.
Yeah.
So when you're out searching for the next party or the next function to make you happy, it's only a temporary fix. God is the answer.
Yeah.
And so He'll use things to bring you to where He needs you to call upon Him. Some people, when life is going well, they kind of forget about Him. They put Him on the back burner.
Yes.
And go about their life until a tragedy. So unfortunately, we hope that tragedy doesn't strike. But even if you're a strong walking Christian, tragedy will just strengthen your faith. And you need to put your trust in Him.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, all things work together.
That's right. All things work together for the good.
Yeah.
Not all things are good, but they will work together for your good.
Yes, yes, that's right. Wow. Gosh, thanks. Thank you both for sharing that, because that's hard. That is hard, crucifying stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
like I said, I don't think I would have been able to do that before the accident, but, it was the best thing that I could have possibly done, and it was spiritually amazing because a lot of people wouldn't forgive somebody for shooting them in the head or shooting them, period. So I feel like that weight was lifted off my shoulders, and it's probably why I'm doing as well as I'm doing today, because I was able to give that forgiveness right off the bat and not carry that load with me.
That's right. Just to go even a little step further with this dynamic that's going on in your life, if you met someone who was feeling as if they had been victimized by someone and couldn't release it, couldn't let go or forgive at any level, what would you tell that person today?
Oh, just that, the forgiveness was the best thing that happened. The forgiveness was the one thing that I didn't count on. I didn't count on having that type of mentality. Like I said, I would have had the Marine come out of me, and that's not what I would have wanted. That would have taken me a couple steps backward in my walk. And, I just believe that that forgiveness part of it is the hardest thing that you have to go through. But once you get past that, it's blessings. You have complete blessings after that because you're free. You're free from having to worry about what that person's doing or, how you can get them back or anything like that. That's just all negative thoughts.
You mentioned having the Marine come out on you. I've never been in the service. I mean, I'll stipulate that up front. And but I do know many, many people that have. I'm from the Vietnam era, and the reason I didn't go into service has nothing to do with protesting. It's just that I didn't pass the damn physical. The Marine coming out in you, there are still people today that have been in the Marine Corps for any number of conflagrations around the world, and the Marine still is there, and the Marine still comes out of them. And it's Army as well, but, I mean, it comes out of them. How do you suppress that to the point that you know that it's back there and it's no longer a threat if you want to use it in that term?
Well, I think I'm using a lot of the different skills, a lot of skills right now that people that went into the military or the Marines that we were taught, I'm using a different skill set now than they use in everyday life. You know, I was talking to Patsy earlier about, you know, how I deal with certain things. And, you know, I learned to be aware of my surroundings more than most people do. And especially, you know, that's what they taught us in the Marines, be aware of your surroundings. And, you know, so I'm using those different skill sets than rather my skill set of trying to figure out different situations about how to get back at somebody if I'm wronged, or, you know, letting my anger come out in certain situations. You know, I don't have that luxury anymore. You know, I can't lash out at people because the repercussions would be so much worse for somebody in my condition. It's just, it's not a very smart way to act, and, you know, it's not a very biblical way to act, you know, at that. But, you know, the skill set that I have to use now, it's a lot of it I'm taking from the Marines. And, geez, what they taught me, I never thought I would use in everyday life today. Yeah. You know, I thought it would be some of the other skill sets, you know, like hunting, tracking, stuff like that, you know. But it's kind of crazy to think of it that way.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things that are kind of crazy, yeah. But that's excellent. I'm wondering about the fruit of the ministry that you see, and like what? Let's say you've been in a race, you've done a marathon, you've got the T-shirt on. What are some of the things that you've begun to see happening as a result of that that you would call the fruit of the ministry?
Well, a lot of people, when they see me racing with the shirt, I'm sure that they're probably thinking, oh, this guy cannot be blind. No way. No way he's out here running, you know, a half marathon, and he's blind. There's just absolutely no way. Because I'm passing people, you know, left and right, and they don't understand that I use shapes and shadows, you know, to my advantage now. And but at the end, you know, they get to see, you know, as they're getting their medals, that they get to see me in front of them and thinking, wow, that guy finished ahead of me. And, you know, he's a blind runner. You know, that's just amazing. So I'm able to be that inspiration, you know, and hopefully it'll inspire them to want to do better next time. Or maybe it'll spread the story, you know, hey, there was a guy that finished a race ahead of me, you know, that was blind, you know, and he's out here running. He's out there, you know, not sitting at home, you know, sitting in front of the TV or radio or whatever. You know, he's out here doing it. He's out there making a difference.
Yeah, yeah. Patsy, what about from your perspective, when you're at a race or maybe right after or even a day after, you know, from where you stand, more or less on the sideline, as it were, do you see any fruit of the ministry from your perspective?
Yeah, when Travis is out there running, God gave me a big voice. And, you know, I do have a voice that carries. I've always been loud. I start making friends all around me. Next thing I know, my voice is carrying and people are tuning in. I can kind of see people listening, and that's when I get to speak about the Lord and tell them Travis's story and what's been going on and how he's out there running and the tragedy of it, but yet he didn't give up.
Right.
He didn't give up because God was there. God was in control. That whole incident was God's purpose. And rather than Travis taking it and feeling sorry for himself, he's out there showing people,
yeah,
you can do all things. You can.
Yeah.
And we're living eternally, you know?
Yeah. So you're giving people some understanding, some handles that they might be able to get a hold of themselves.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And then one of the first comments I hear from a lot of people is that, wow, I complain about the small things. And you know what? We do.
Yeah.
Everybody's guilty of that.
Yeah.
But you know what? You have so many more blessings if you just look at the positive.
Right. That's right. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it is very positive. The fact what you're accomplishing is positive. What the strength that it's given you is positive, and the fact that you're living is positive.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
and the fact that you can speak intelligently and do speak intelligently, carry on a conversation. I mean, we just had this special on TV just the other night about Gabby Giffords, who was shot in the head by whoever this character was. And she, in some respects, is fighting the same battles that you have fought and are fighting, just with a different after effect to
right.
a similar situation. And she seems like a very forgiving person as well. So, I mean, I wouldn't be able to understand it
right.
unless it had happened to me.
Right. Exactly.
I am very thankful that it didn't happen to me. I don't care for it to happen to me. But I would like to think that if it were to happen to me, something were like that were to happen to me, that I would find the forgiveness somewhere, somehow.
Yeah. Yeah.
But because I can see where it could just torture you if you didn't.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want to feel that. That's for sure.
No.
I just wanted to say the one thing about when Travis says the Marine came out in him and trying to get revenge. The one thing that I find comfort in is, when you trust in the Lord, He's your vindicator. You
yeah.
need to pray. You need to give it to God and know that God sees everything. Nothing gets by Him. He will take it into His hands. That person's not going to get away with it. You pray that they can find the Lord before they pass away, but they won't get away with it.
Yeah.
So leave it to God. Give it to God. Release it from you. That person's out running around living their life. They don't even remember how they hurt you, what they've done to you. They're out having a great time. You're the one festering with this pain. Give it to the Lord. Let Him be your vindicator.
Right, right. Absolutely, absolutely. You're running this Saturday, aren't you?
Yes.
And that's, where is that?
It's actually, it's called Race for Rescue, and it's it's an organization that's trying to prevent human trafficking.
Right.
And it actually, coincidentally, it starts at Radiant Church, which is just amazing. It starts at my church. So,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I could even walk down to the starting line, which is great. But it's a 10K. I think they have a 5K and a 1 mile kids run as well. But it's just an amazing organization. And, you know, they spoke at our church within the last year, and just absolutely amazing, you know, just the things that you learn just from them speaking. It's like, wow, this happens in our state. You know, we're one of the worst states for this, and this is unacceptable. So right when I heard that we were having a race at our church, I had to jump on board, even though it wasn't a 10K or it wasn't a half marathon like I've been running this year. But I 100% wanted to be in that race no matter what.
Because of the cause.
Right.
Yeah. Is that one of the primary criteria you use to decide when and where you'll run?
Not really. The races that I've done this year have primarily been, well, they've all been up until the one in Tucson in December. They've been rock and roll type races, the rock and roll series races. So they've been the big races. You know, it's one of the top series out there. And,
yeah.
You know, there's, I think P.F. Chang's race draws almost 30,000 people out.
Yeah.
So
that's true. So you go into the usual, the secular market, if you will, as an unapologetic, out there Christian guy who's taken part in this.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, well, that's great. Doing that, and I know you described some of the fruit of the ministry. When you're in that situation, is there any surprises that you have seen as a result of doing that? Just something you didn't expect to happen at all that's come out?
Well, when I ran my first marathon in February before I started Run Trav Run, and it was just absolutely amazing. On mile 7, I had a lady run up next to me, and at this point, I was hurting. I started off too fast, and, you know, it's just... it was not what I expected. The day was just absolutely horrible, rainy, cold. And this lady came up next to me, and she saw the shirt. She tapped me on the shoulder, you know, because I had headphones on. And she made me cry. She's like, you know, I have been doing probably 60 to 70 half marathons, and I have never, ever been so motivated and inspired than I was by reading your shirt. And that just, wow. I mean, what an incredible feeling. You know, it just overwhelmed me. It was just,
yeah.
I couldn't contain it. Good thing it was raining because I was bawling.
Sure.
I'm not ashamed to admit that.
Yeah. Well, that's the Marine coming out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, suck it up, you know.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's part of how this whole scenario in your life was redeemed. Those kind of moments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful.
What do you see, or what do you hope for the future of your organization, Run Trav Run? What are your objectives and your goals? I mean, you hear about these people, run across country for the benefit of whatever and so on and so forth. Is there any element of that that you hope to achieve?
You know, I've learned already this past couple of years not to put any limits on God, because every time I tell him I'm not going to do something, he comes right in there and he has me do it, you know. And,
right.
But, you know, I really don't have a clear-cut future as to what we're going to do after we're helping this children's center, but I know we want to continue to do the half marathon goal up until my body can't take it anymore. And, you know, if somebody else can take over running the half marathons and I have to start doing 10Ks or 5Ks, you know, that's what I'll have to do. But I think this is a great venue and a great way to use the talents that God gave me, you know, while I can still use them. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we'll find something else in the future, what we want to go after, what cause we want to help out, you know. So we're always looking.
Very good.
Yeah.
I mean, I could just picture him in the headlines running from Los Angeles to New York City and raising awareness for not only your faith-based operation, but also for any number of worthwhile causes in conjunction with that. Any number of faith-based organizations,
right,
that would be that could use your services, and I think that'd be cool.
It would be cool.
Are you going to be in the lead car, John?
Well, what kind of car is it?
Well, it'll be something for you. It's going to have to be something that's very plush and very luxurious, because
fit for Episcopalians.
Yeah.
Hey, give me the keys. I'll drive.
No, you get to run, Travis.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I got the running part.
And Travis is out there. And one of the reasons he runs is that if we can just save one more person for Jesus.
Yeah.
One more for Jesus. If that's the message right there. It's not anything about raising money for different causes, although we would love to support any cause out there that would want to support us. We definitely would be on board for that. But I think Travis is out there doing what he is doing for the Lord and spreading his inspiration and the word and just saving lives and bringing more people on board.
Yeah.
Now, are you a 501c3 nonprofit, Travis?
We're not. We're in the process of filling in our paperwork to try to get that. And that's why if anybody goes on to Run Trav Run on Facebook, they can see that all of the donations are to be made, all the checks are to be made out to Radiant Church itself and not to me or Patsy or anything. You know, we don't want any money coming into us with our name on it whatsoever, so that way we can keep it legit and it can go completely 100% to the children's center that we're trying to supplement as far as the unstoppable plan that our church has. So
you're not taking any cut from anything as far as any revenues or donations or whatever. That's really cool.
Nothing, yeah, that's not cool. One penny.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So, but we hoped in the future to get that paperwork turned in, filled out and turned in. That would probably be better. But, you know, that's the route we're going to take for our future. We just it's been a little slow, and then of course getting married and, you know, having her move into the house and everything, that's taken up quite a bit of time as well as the training. So
there's that doggone marriage thing, you know.
So kind of snuck in. Yeah. It just kind of happened.
But I got a partner now, so that's good.
Very good. Very
yes,
good.
You do.
I'm
that
his
is
jelly,
good.
And I have to push him when he's working out.
Definitely.
And he works out hard, let me tell you.
Yeah.
He's very dedicated, and I'm very proud of him.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Yeah.
Got me teary-eyed again.
Aw.
Well, what does the short-term future, you know, we looked at some of the more wider goals. About the short-term future, what's 2012 look like for Run Trav Run?
Well, we've already got a few races on the table, and of course, we're still going ahead with the children's ministry until we deem that it's enough. You know,
yeah,
that we've done enough, and we find another cause. But I already have the P.F. Chang's half marathon in January, and in fact, there's another half marathon in Surprise on January 29th, just 2 weeks after the P.F. Chang's that I'm going to do that I signed up for yesterday, and the one that that probably means a lot to me is IMS Arizona Half Marathon. I was able to do that on the one-year anniversary of the shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Because the morning that I woke up in the hospital, I was supposed to be doing the third half marathon in Apache Junction, and I never made that race. And I think that's one of the reasons why God put it in my heart to run, is because I was supposed to be running, you know, and now I get to finish the race. And,
yeah,
you know, so the IMS is close to my heart. I've run it. This will be the third year that I've run it. And my first marathon was the IMS full marathon last year.
Yeah.
So,
what is IMS?
You know, I have no idea.
Okay, you just show up and you kind of like them.
I know I saw it on a building once or twice, but
yeah,
I think they have something to do with the medical field.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Other than the deficit you have now in your vision, are there any other lingering after effects from the shooting?
Just taste and smell. That is about it. You know, my taste buds, I'd say they're probably about 15 to 20% of what they were, and I can't smell anything. You know, I could smell variations in the air, but they all smell the same. So if somebody is smoking or if somebody's baking a nice birthday cake or something, they both smell the same to me. Which,
so that can be good or bad, you know,
yeah,
depending on the smell.
That's not a reference to Patsy's cooking, is it?
No, not at all.
Well, Patsy, that would be a blessing in disguise if you were not a good cook.
Well, or morning breath, right? I mean, you don't have to worry about that. So that's a wonderful thing right there.
All right.
Oh, my.
I had never thought of that.
No,
right.
Absolutely not. That's
we just ran down a whole other road there.
Yeah, we'll probably get a few phone calls on that one, don't you think?
Yeah,
right.
Look at the lights. Look at those phones lighting up.
Right. How do I get that morning breath thing going for me, right?
Exactly. Oh, jeez.
And you heard it here on Exploring
Faith.
Hey,
you know what? God loves for us to have a great time. He wants for everybody to enjoy their life.
I thought you were going to say, and God loves morning breath.
And he loves it, too. Yeah. He created it.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Oh, yes.
We were, you didn't envision us exploring this topic.
No, that's not the faith I was looking to explore, John.
Yeah.
So, now, how frequently, Travis, how frequently do you run? I mean, how long does it take your body to recoup and then go out and run again?
I usually run 2-3 times a week at least. Sometimes 4 if I'm feeling really good, but I try to limit it to 4, 5, 6 mile runs, or unless I did yesterday, I did a back-to-back where I did Monday and Tuesday running, but I had a 30-pound vest on, and I just ran around the backyard, and that was, wow, that was tough, but I think it was only for maybe 20 minutes at the most, but, you know, 4 days a week I think is probably the most, and I try not to run more than 20 miles a week.
Because my daughter and her husband are they run half marathons, and she was up in San Jose and did something not that long ago, and she's going to be doing, she does these rock and roll marathon things as well, B.F. Chang's.
Right.
That's the rock and roll, isn't it?
Yes.
as she gets on a schedule, in other words, she starts doing her training runs and lengthens them out, and then she basically takes a week or 10 days off before the run, just with maybe a mile a day or just something to keep things loose, I guess.
Right.
And then goes and does the run. I mean, yeah. Is that pretty much the way you...
Typically, yeah. You know, you want to scale down towards getting close to the race. You know, if I'm doing 4 or 5 miles 2 weeks out, the week of the race, I'll probably do maybe 2 runs Monday and Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And I think the Wednesday one's usually 1 to 2 miles at the most. So, yeah, that's a smart way to do it, is to scale it down before the race starts. But luckily for me, since I'm doing a lot of these half marathons this year, that I don't have to do the longer runs, you know, the 8, 9, 10 milers. So that's beneficial for me. You know, the half marathons that I run are my long runs, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So I got lucky there.
Now, have you done any marathons? I forgot if you had done. You have done a full marathon.
Yes,
correct?
One full.
And which one was that?
That was the IMS this past February.
Okay, and that's the one you're going back to do again now this next February, is that correct?
Yes, but it's going to be the half marathon this time.
Oh, you're going to do the half.
Yeah.
Any thoughts of doing the New York or the Boston or any of those?
You know, I've always wanted to do the Marine Corps marathon and or the half marathon, but, you know, they're all on the East Coast, and it takes a lot of planning, and
yeah.
Especially since I'm married now, you know, I have to consider her schedule, and we had something we have to plan out a lot better than just go on a whim and sign up for the race. But
yeah.
I would love to do the Marine Corps one. That would be amazing for me.
Mm-hmm. That'd be great.
So
yeah.
Boston, New York, you know, that would be kind of cool too, but the Marine Corps one, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I know you just did Philadelphia a little
yep.
bit ago. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. A couple of weeks, actually, a month and a half ago,
yeah.
September.
Yeah.
And we did L.A. just a couple weeks ago.
That's great.
That was amazing. Right before Halloween, you know, everybody was dressed up in costumes. Well, they may do that all the time up there. I don't know.
Yeah, that seemed normal to them, right? Wow. You know, I was not aware that there's half marathons in Surprise. How long has that been going on?
I think this is their fifth year.
Wow.
Something like that.
Wow.
But, yeah, I would have signed up for it last year, but yeah. It was right after the P.F. Chang's and right before the marathon, so I figured, you know, 2 weeks before a marathon, I don't think that's going to be a good idea for
sure.
me. But, you know, it ends 3 or 4 miles away from where we live, so
wow.
It's perfect.
Are there a lot of entries?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought I saw something on the website that, the lady that ran for president, or the vice president last, Sarah Palin, I think she ran it last year. So I was surprised at that.
So when they said that Sarah Palin was going to run in Arizona, that's what she did. She
she actually ran a Surprise and, you know, got out her running shoes. And
yeah. Well, Surprise is your home. And, of course, being native here, it's you're a guy from Arizona, and now you live on the West Side, still do. Now you're running this marathon as part of the ministry, part of how you really live out your calling. As you look forward to that particular half marathon in Surprise, do you anticipate God maybe doing anything either with you or as a result of doing that might be new?
You know, I hope so. I know that something big is going to happen. You know, I've always felt that I was destined for greatness, and now I feel that greatness is completely different than what I had in mind in the first place.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I always gauged it with fame, fortune. Now, not so much. You know, I don't really care for the fame or the fortune. You know, it's if I can, like Patsy said earlier, change one person, that's amazing to me. You know, that makes this whole thing worthwhile. You know, going through everything I've gone through, the blindness, everything, you know, it's worth it. Completely worth it to bring somebody to God. And, you know, I've never thought that I was capable of doing something like that before the accident. So in Surprise, you know, if they know that somebody from their hometown is out there doing this, and hopefully we'll get a lot of supporters from our church, you know, it's right down the street, and, you know, we'll be able to generate a lot more awareness, and that should be amazing. You know, who knows what could happen that day. I think God's definitely going to be there, and he's going to be rooting for room for me to cross the finish line and minister to people. So
that's right. Patsy, do you see anything anticipating that?
I always anticipate great things because God is everywhere.
That's right.
He's right here right now watching us, and
that's
you
right.
know what? This is great. So
yeah.
anytime I go anywhere or every day, I always look for that opportunity. God is there, and everybody, we don't have to have a platform. Everywhere we go is our pulpit.
Yeah.
So anybody you come in contact with, and I always expect great things.
Oh, yeah, that's excellent. Which circles us back around to Pete's first question. You have a ministry, but you're not an ordained minister. What's with that? And that, you gave a great answer in the beginning, and that's a great answer to that, too.
That's a great answer.
Every Christian has a ministry.
Everybody
yeah,
is. Everybody
yeah.
needs to get the message out. Everywhere you go,
yeah.
think of each person you come in contact with. That is your pulpit.
Right.
You don't need to have a platform.
No.
So.
No, you already have one.
You have
right.
one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're the examples. We have to set the example. And, you know, I'm hoping that that's what people see me doing. You know, they see me out there setting the example for others that, you know, no matter what happens in your life, you know, you can go out there and you can be an inspiration to anybody, you know, in different ways, different shapes, different forms. And
yep.
hopefully I'm can inspire more people that are going through difficult times or have disabilities that, you know, they can still go out there and try to do different things. It may not be the way that they did it before, but, you know, it definitely isn't the way I used to do it.
Sure.
So even though my race before the accident, I ran a 2:45, and back in Seattle this year, I ran in 1 hour and 58 minutes. So I think I'm doing it better than I did it before. So
well, that's right.
Wait.
Here we go.
Before you were injured,
yeah.
you ran a race. What was the? How long was the race? A half?
It was a half marathon.
And you ran it in 2 hours and 45 minutes.
2:45.
And since you've been injured, you now ran it in 1 hour and 58 minutes?
Yeah, Seattle was 1 hour and 58 minutes.
So you cut 47 minutes off your time.
Yes.
Jumping, Yemeni sakes alive, Ollie.
Well, my goal is 1 hour and 50 minutes. That's what I want to achieve
yeah.
at some point. But, you know, just finishing each race, it just,
right.
it's amazing in itself, you know, and that's all I could hope for.
I could barely drive my car that distance in 1 hour and 50 minutes. Unbelievable. That is phenomenal.
Isn't it? Yeah. Excellent.
Oh, Toledo. Oh, you got me there. I am at a loss for words, and I normally aren't.
And it happened here on Exploring Faith.
Yeah.
Pete is lost for words.
That's the miracle of the day, right?
Travis, there's another fruit of ministry right there.
You got Pete to shut up.
Oh.
Well, how can people get a hold of you and find out more about what you do? And you have a website?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page. It's in capital letters, Run, Trav, Run. It brings it right up there, and you can click on the like button on there. And I post on there, you know, a couple times a week and say what I'm doing, if I'm training, or what we have coming up. And it's great. And we hope to have the RunTravRun.com up and running soon. It's been a work in progress, but it will be up and running, and people will be able to see the same things on there that they would on Facebook.
Do you have or do you subscribe to that? I think it's – I don't know where it is. I mean, I don't know enough about it. All I know is that when my daughter's running, you can like it on Facebook or something like that, and she'll hear the cheers and whatever in the headphones.
Oh, really?
I'm trying to think of what the heck that is. It's a GPS thing, and I don't know if Nike has it or somebody's got it. But I'm assuming it's probably, if not free, it's very minimally expensive. But, I mean, she will post it where we're going to run the race now, da-da-da-da-da, cheer me on, you know, whatever, and then everybody will just go and start liking it, and she'll get the cheers. And,
oh, wow.
And then you can post, you know, good luck, go Carissa or whatever, so I said, what I asked her the last time she ran, it was a run, but it was not, and it was organized, but it was not an official type thing.
Right.
And I said, well, I did you get the stuff? I'm sitting here hitting like, you know. And she said, well, no, that wasn't the one. They didn't have that service on this one, Dad. I went, thanks a lot.
I see.
But,
the big one.
Yeah, but it is. It's the P.F. Chang's and some of the other ones that you can get. Now, I don't know about that, but maybe I can find out for you.
Yeah, I've not heard of it. I use my own phone. I have an Android, and it has GPS on there, and it actually talks to me in my earphones and tells me where I am, how fast I'm going, and stuff like that. Sometimes it's accurate, sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it tells me I'm going a lot farther than I should be, and I have no idea where I am. But, you know, if I didn't have the headphones on, I'd feel like that anyways. I wouldn't have any idea.
And if and matter of fact, if you hadn't taken that wrong turn last time, it would have been 1 hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
excellent point. Right.
Well, my first race, actually, it was the first anniversary race of I was running down the road, and there was nobody else on the road. I had to start walking because I thought I'd turned down the wrong street, and it's like, okay, this is awkward. I'll just keep walking until somebody passes me, and sure enough, about 10, 15 minutes later, somebody finally passed me, and I was able to follow them into the finish line. I was like, oh, my gosh, that would just be horrible, get lost on the road running a half marathon. So
imagine those headlines.
Oh, geez. Blind man gets lost on route to Cardinal Stadium. Wow.
Well, we've got your contact information.
Right.
Run Trav Run on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
All caps.
Yes.
Okay. And anybody that wants to get hold of you and talk to you about sponsorships, you're certainly willing to talk, I would imagine.
Yes, we are. You know, like I said, monetary amounts aren't the important thing, but they're definitely, they help the cause that we're trying to promote, you know, with the Children's Center and whatever we do in the future. So right now we're doing everything out of pocket. So the savings tends to dwindle a little faster that way, but, you know, it's definitely worth it.
Do you know, and maybe you do, that on Channel 5, Catherine Anaya, the evening anchor, is an avid marathon runner.
Really?
So it might be of value for you to get in contact with her somehow, some way. And I don't know the best way to do that, but you could friend her on Facebook.
Okay.
She is on Facebook. You could friend her on Facebook, and you know, poker or whatever they call that. I don't know what they call that. But I mean, she's an avid runner. She ran Boston.
Oh wow.
And she really is into her running. I know that. Like I say, we've had her on the show some time ago.
So does she listen to the show?
I would like to think she does. I would like to think there's a lot of people that are listening to this show. But it's this, too, is a work in progress. So.
Yes.
Well, we've done a few interviews, and on the Facebook page there is an interview from Channel 10, a couple from Channel 3. So
Channel 12.
Now, Channel 12
you're missing five.
Two.
There's another fellow that is on the radio, and you can find him on Facebook, too, is Steve Henry. Steve Henry has a show on the weekends, and I've never talked to him. I get his posts, but I've never talked to him. He has got a show. He is he's a broadcaster on KFNN, I believe. He does a lot of business stuff, but he is also does business with business topics with regard to Christian businesses.
Oh, outstanding!
So that might be of interest. Let me see who else I can tell you about. Dave Isaac on KXXT, which is a Christian station. He has a program called Dave's going to shoot me when I can't think of his name. But anyhow, you can go to KXXT and look up Dave Isaac. He's got his own show on KXXT also.
Yeah, awesome.
No pun intended, right?
No pun intended. I'm sorry about that.
I just want to throw that in there for Travis.
I do that to her all the time.
But,
No.
Well, somebody that is blind. It's Terry Mead. Terry Mead's an attorney, and he wears a patch. And Terry Mead says, the only the only law firm that keeps an eye out for you.
That's right.
Oh my! I mean, I commend those of you that can that are confident in themselves and confident in what's happened to them, that they don't that they can make those kinds of statements and be and be strong enough to understand that you know, it's just part of who you are now.
Well, definitely. I mean, I got to turn a blind eye to some of those comments, but you know, it's part of who I am, and you know, it's not going to change. So I just figure, you know, I got to keep a good sense of humor about it, and you know, if I have a good sense of humor, it's going to make people around me feel a little
right.
more comfortable, and you know, so they don't want to slip up and say the wrong thing. You know, there's people that do that all the time. You know, and even
yeah, well,
my
like
family.
I did. Yeah, like I said, David just shoot me while I didn't mean
it. When he spoke for Special Olympics, one of his opening statements, you know, he said, "This is a great crowd I see out there." And, you know, I don't know that they got that, but he really can't see the crowd.
Yeah,
so,
it's the best-looking crowd I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
You know?
So if you start it off like that, some people get it, some people don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a work in progress, too.
Yeah. Anything else, John?
No, you know, I think we've had a great time today.
Yes, we have.
Yeah,
yes,
definitely. Yeah, absolutely. Really appreciate you coming by today for this.
Well, we appreciate you having us here. This is amazing.
Amazing opportunity. We thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, it's been a pleasure having both of you here. Once again, it's Run Trav Run on Facebook.
Right.
Yep.
All caps.
All caps.
And do you have a phone number you give out?
We don't, actually.
Okay.
Don't not yet.
It's just Run Trav Run on Facebook. And find out more about Mr. Travis Brown and his activities and his endeavors. So thanks again for being on the show. We appreciate the fact that you've been with us today.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
It's been a lot of fun. And thanks for everybody else for joining us today. As always, we've tried to give our listeners something to think about, and I think we've done that today. You've been listening to the Boomer the Babe Show, Exploring Faith on Blog Talk Radio, where we bring good conversation to the world. Today we brought you conversation and information from Mr. Travis Brown and Mrs. Patsy Brown. How about that, Mrs. Patsy Brown?
Yeah,
I like
yeah.
it.
You can listen to the Boomer the Babe Show live every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, we do much more than host this radio show on Blog Talk. Check us out at boomerandthebabe.com. That's boomerandthebabe.com. And see everything that makes up the Boomer the Babe Incorporated. Be sure to make the second half of your life the best half of your life, and we'll see you with another great program tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody. The Boomer the Babe Show, where we bring interesting conversation to the world. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, where we tweet as Boomer and Babe, and on Facebook as Pete Peters 47. As always, you can friend us on Blog Talk Radio or sign up for our newsletter at boomerandthebabe.com. Email us at host@boomerthebabe.com with any of your comments. Remember, at 50, you're just getting started.